So I want to ask you a couple questions about Hodgkin lymphoma. We also talked about that, just a couple of issues. One is upfront therapy. You may recall we presented a case to the audience of a young man with high-risk disease. And actually, in contrast to the way people usually answer the question of what's your first-line therapy, when we presented a high-risk patient, the majority of the audience and both of you and the faculty said bevacizumab slash AVD. Can you talk a little bit about where we are today with that upfront decision?
Yeah. So Echelon 1 was a randomized phase 3 trial of BV-AVD versus a BVD. And this was a trial that I think changed things for me personally, certainly for high-risk patients, the ability to avoid bleomycin, and two, to avoid the need for the PET scan after 2 cycles to make treatment decisions, was a nice advantage. And I have started using BV-AVD in my patients with high-risk Hodgkin lymphoma.
How do you see the trade-off for the standard risk patient?
Yeah, for the standard risk patient, that's a harder thing. I mean, they didn't, the study was an all-comer study, and there was a 4% improvement in PFS, modified PFS, for all patients who were entered on the study with advanced stage Hodgkin's. If you look at the North American cohort or the younger cohort or the higher risk cohort, that 4% differential increases for each one of those subsets. So, I'll acknowledge these were not pre-planned or powered to look for differences specifically in those subsets, but it's hard to ignore some of the differences and the improvement in progression-free survival coupled with the ability to avoid bleomycin. So for the standard risk patient, I think there are two good options. One is BV-AVD. The other one is to use the RAFL approach, which is to give ABVD for 2 cycles, and then use the interim PET to determine whether or not you can safely eliminate the bleomycin. I think it's a discussion. Many patients want a novel agent in the front line. Many people do not want bleomycin. So I think over time, even moderate risk patients will get BV-AVD if it's available to them.
In terms of, quote, moderate risk patients, would you still say to them that they will have a slightly decreased risk of relapse? In other words, is this sort of a relative risk reduction that goes down the spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite close, but it was statistically significant. The PFS difference was statistically significant for everyone who was enrolled in the study. So I feel comfortable saying that. Now, there was no difference in overall survival, and we now know that BV in the salvage setting is, very active, and I don't know how using BV upfront would affect the ability to use BV in the relapse setting, but it's definitely a conversation. And some people may say they don't want it because of the risk of neuropathy. And there we use the RAFL approach. So I don't think it's really a one-size-fits-all. I do think for my highest-risk patients, I've started using BV-AVD quite routinely. For the moderate-risk patients, it's a discussion of whether or not they would prefer the RAFL approach or not.